A bright white light shines out from the centre of a black screen. The screen lightens to reveal clouds in a blue sky. The light is held aloft by a statuesque woman wearing a long white robe with a blue sash draped around her. She stands on a raised plinth before the cloudy sky. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Revolution Studios, Walden Media and Beacon Pictures present The ruins of Urquhart Castle on the banks of Loch Ness. A herd of red deer graze on the slopes of the mountains overlooking the loch. The deer take fright and run. An Akos Films production. A stream trickles down under a bridge and on into the loch. A clump of pine trees grow on a small island in the loch. Night falls over Urquhart Castle. The Water Horse. A caption. A true tale it is. Day. Tourists and locals come and go in the village of Drumna Drochet beside the loch. In a pub, a backpacker looks at the iconic surgeon's photo of the Loch Ness monster on the wall. His girlfriend comes over.
What is that?
It's that famous picture of the monster, but it's fake.
How do you know it's fake? It looks real.
Oh, it's fake, all right.
Of course it's fake. Everyone knows that.
Wait now, son. There's more to that photo than meets the eye.
Oh, really?
Well, if you'd like to know the real truth.
Yeah, I want to know. Come on, it'll be fun.
Well, we have to go back to World War II. The Germans had captured the rest of Europe and were only 100 miles or so from these shores. And you need to know about a young lad called Angus McMurrow. The wee lad was drawn to water, but deathly afraid of it at the same time.
Angus, who's about 11, sits beside the loch wearing shorts and a tank top jumper. He looks out apprehensively across the loch. Now, wearing swimming trunks and a pair of white pumps, he makes his way slowly and somewhat fearfully into the water. A group of other children sit on the rocks nearby, watching him. An image of a boy floating in the water as if drowned. A young girl of about 4 looks out from the shore at Angus, who's now waded into the water up to his waist. He wades on up to his chest. Suddenly something pulls him violently under the water. He surfaces again, thrashing wildly. The children sitting on the rocks watch calmly as he's pulled under again. Angus is pulled deeper and deeper down under the surface. Sitting at the water's edge, Angus stares out across the peaceful, sun-dappled waters of the loch. Carrying a galvanized metal bucket, Angus picks up a whelk shell and puts it in the bucket. He walks on across the rocky shore. He bends down and puts something else in the bucket. He sits down beside a rock pool and he puts the bucket down. He reaches into the pool and retrieves another shell, which he puts in the bucket. Aged about 6, he's with his father, Charlie.
You know something, Alice? The tide pool is a very strange, enchanted place. Oh, see these wee beauties?
He picks up a shell.
They are full of luck and magic.
No.
Aye, Angus. You'd best believe it.
Can I keep it, Daddy?
Aye. But don't tell your mummy. She believes things should stay where they are.
11-year-old Angus snaps out of his reverie and turns his attention back to the rock pool. He reaches down into the water and with both hands slowly lifts a large round rock from the pool. He sits looking at the rock. He keeps looking at the rock.
Angus!
He looks up as his mother rounds a rocky promontory.
Angus McMorrow, what in heaven's name?
Sorry, I'm coming.
Indeed you are.
He puts the rock and some seaweed in the bucket and goes over to her.
I thought you'd drowned.
Carrying the bucket, he follows her up a steep slope away from the water.
You didn't even get wet.
They pass a sign. Warning. Fishing boats and other vessels must be registered with local authorities or be subject to military seizure. In the village market, a fishmonger serves a woman. Angus and his mother walk through the market where a group of off-duty British troops hang about. A local man tips his hat.
I'd say it's going to rain, Mrs. McMorrow.
I think you might be right, Mr. McCowan.
Angus and his mother Anne walk on up an unmetalled road.
Would you remind me to tell Clyde to move the cattle to the lower field?
The cattle in question are grazing in the field they're walking past. The road leads up to a grand country house. As Angus and Anne walk up to the house, we find a gardener busy retrieving a broken statue from an ornamental fountain.
I'll just put my pail in the workshop.
Well, be quick, you have to help with the tea.
Anne watches wistfully as Angus carries the bucket to the workshop. She turns to the gardener.
Clyde.
Aye.
Can we move the cattle down to the lower field?
Oh, aye. I've got nothing better to do.
Mummy, look what I've got.
Kirsty has an orange.
Where'd you get that?
Every volunteer got 4 oranges today.
I haven't had an orange in Lord knows how long.
How was the shore? Did Angus have fun?
Angus, fun?
Kirsty sighs and nods. Angus steps into the workshop and closes the door behind him. He puts the bucket down on a draining board and walks over to a notice board which has a map with various miniature flags pinned to it. He runs his fingers over the flags. On another wall, he looks at a photo of himself standing with his father. He picks up a pen and crosses off another day on a calendar. It's the 23rd of April, 1942. He counts off the months to the 30th of September, which is circled with a note pinned to it, tour of duty over. Looking at it, Angus smiles. He goes back to the sink, passing a picture of his father in naval uniform on his way. He takes the rock from the bucket and puts it on the drainer. He examines the egg-shaped rock, which is about the size of a rugby ball, then puts it under the tap to rinse off any loose debris. He puts the rock back on the drainer and switches the tap off. He examines his seaweed and barnacle-encrusted find. Angus takes a penknife from his pocket and pokes at the rock with it. A chunk of the rock breaks away, revealing a beautiful blue-tinted mother-of-pearl shell beneath it. Angus uses his penknife to break off more of the rock. He stares in amazement at the shell beneath. He leaves the object on the draining board and goes. The object rocks on the drainer, as if something moves within it. Later, Angus sits on his bed looking at a photo of his father and listening to the wireless.
All the Malay Peninsula has been overrun. We are struggling hard in the Libyan desert, where perhaps another serious battle will be. The whole future of our skies may depend upon our actions and upon our conduct. So far, we have not failed. We shall not fail now.
Hearing a noise, Angus gets off his bed and goes over to the window. He looks out to the workshop where a light swings in the gale. Angus turns away from the window. He hurries down the stairs in the large house and runs across the hall, passing a statue of the devil, which is briefly illuminated by a flash of lightning. Angus hurries outside and runs through the pouring rain to the workshop. He ducks inside, shutting the door behind him. He looks over to the draining board and sees the egg has gone. As he walks towards the drainer, he hears a noise and spots a now broken eggshell lying on the floor. He crouches down and examines the pieces of eggshell. He looks up, and something knocks a jar off a shelf nearby. Leaving the shell, Angus gets to his feet and walks in the direction of the noise. He crouches to look at the broken jar. Hearing a noise, he looks up and sees some things fall off a shelf. Angus gets a glimpse of some sort of critter running along the floor. He straightens up and walks slowly through the workshop towards the source of the strange noises. He passes a ram's skull on the wall and makes his way into a greenhouse area. He jumps as he hears the critter scurrying around near tomato plants. Very apprehensively, he walks towards the source of the strange noises. Angus crouches down and lifts a fallen plant. Beneath it is a small, brown, smooth-skinned creature with a long neck and flippers, like a turtle.
Jinks!
The creature looks uncertainly up at him. Angus smiles and very slowly extends his hand towards the creature, which is about the size of a tortoise.
It's all right.
The creature sniffs his hand, then snaps at it. Angus recoils and the creature runs off. Back in the house, Angus goes into the kitchen where the cook is relaxing, smoking a cigarette and enjoying a drink. She watches, disinterestedly, as Angus takes a potato from a sack and runs off with it. Back in the workshop, Angus approaches the creature again and cuts a piece off the potato with his penknife. He offers the piece to the creature. It eats it.
That's it.
He cuts another slice off the potato and holds it out to the creature, which regards it hungrily.
Come on. Come on.
The creature eats from his hand.
That's it.
The creature looks up nervously and he smiles reassuringly at it.
All right then. That's a good boy.
He strokes the critter as it eats. He keeps stroking the animal and smiles down at it. The critter turns around and Angus notices it has a cut on its back.
Oh no.
Angus takes an old biscuit tin off a shelf and puts it on a worktop. He opens it and takes out a packet of surgical gauze. As he opens the packet, the creature pesters him for more food. He gives it another bit of potato.
There you are.
As it wolfs the potato down, he dabs its cut with the gauze.
It's all right. I'll take care of you.
Angus! Angus! Angus, it's bedtime. How many times do I have to call you?
Next morning, The sun is up as Angus lies asleep in bed. As its rays strike his face, he wakes with a start. He hops out of bed and looks out of the window. He sees a convoy of military vehicles approaching.
Crikey.
He smiles and runs to another window, which he opens to get a better look at the vehicles as they pull up. Soldiers leap out of jeeps and trucks. Kirsty and his mother come into the room and look out of the window too.
What is it? Maybe Daddy's with them.
Kirsty and her mother exchange a surreptitious look at the mention of Daddy. Anne runs out of the room, Kirsty following behind her. Angus grabs his dressing gown and follows after them. To the cook.
Do you know anything about this?
No.
They've got to be here for a reason. I don't know.
Anne, Kirsty and Angus go outside and gawp at the troops.
Good morning, madam. Captain Thomas Hamilton, 12 Medium Regiment, Royal Artillery. Are we all set? The head housekeeper, Mrs. McMorrow, is making all the arrangements.
She is?
Yes. Is she around?
I'm Anne McMorrow.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Clearly, HQ have failed to notify you. My troop is to be billeted here.
Well, I've hardly any staff. When Lord Killen went off to the RAF, only a few of us stayed on here.
Well, we won't expect afternoon tea. No, only the officers will be billeted inside the house. The rest of my men will camp outside.
Well, I'm afraid I really would need Lord Killen's permission.
Of course. Wormsley?
Yes, sir.
A letter.
From Lord Killen. We're friends, actually. At Oxford the same year.
He hands her the letter.
All right. But I have to tell you, our cupboards are not exactly full these days.
Not to worry. The War Office keeps us well supplied. And what's more, we have a number of keen hunters in our regiment. They are trained killers, after all.
Angus regards one of the soldiers fearfully.
You see, Scotland is the front line in the war these days. Good man. Nazi submarines are everywhere. Here we are. Splendid. Yes.
He admires the living room.
Well, how lovely. Now, all this, you see, is for your own protection. Corbin?
Well, we're very grateful.
Is this a German advance?
Following the troop movements, are you?
Captain Hamilton joins Angus by a map.
Don't you worry, son. We're ready for him.
Angus runs back to his mother.
Now, you men, come with me. Can you put my desk over here?
Kirsty, Angus, run along. I don't want to distract our guests from their duties.
Can you keep a secret?
Isn't this exciting? Soldiers right here in our home.
Promise me you can keep a secret.
What are you babbling about?
You have to swear you won't tell Mummy.
I'll not breathe a word. What is it?
Kirsty goes into her room.
I don't know.
Later in the library, Angus climbs a ladder up to a gallery. He looks at the shelves of old books and runs his hand along them as he walks along the gallery. Eventually, he finds a couple of tomes entitled Wood's Natural History and pulls them off the shelf. He takes them into the workshop, which is now in a terrible mess. He finds the creature chewing a boot hanging from a peg on the wall.
Those are my daddy's boots.
He grabs hold of the animal and pulls it off the boot.
Bad boy, you can't eat them.
It spits out some leather.
I suppose you are hungry.
Angus runs back to the house and goes into the kitchen. When he opens the door, he's greeted by an angry bulldog.
What's that? Turtle. That's enough, turtle.
Who are you?
Sergeant Wallace Strunk, 12 Medium Regiment Royal Artillery, 1st Battery Cook. Churchill, regiment mascot.
He points at Angus.
Unauthorised personnel.
I just wanted a wee snack.
Provisions dispensed only by written orders in triplicate. You have the paperwork? Off you go. Who's daddy's boy then, eh? Good boy. Good Churchill. You still here?
I take out the rubbish.
On a double then. Who's the best little soldier in the regiment there? Churchill, good boy. Give me another kiss.
Angus carries the kitchen bin into the workshop, and looks around for the creature.
Hello? Where are you, boy?
There's no sign of him. Angus starts to search.
Where are you hiding?
The creature knocks the bin over and helps itself to the scraps.
You are a sneaky devil, aren't you, boy? If you are a boy, what do we call you?
The creature snaps at an egg which rolls out of the bin. Angus looks around for inspiration and spots a copy of Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe sitting on a shelf.
Crusoe, trapped on an island. Right then, Crusoe, let's see what you are.
Crusoe busies himself rooting through the contents of the bin while Angus settles down with the books he took from the library. He looks at pictures of lizards and compares them with Crusoe.
No.
He turns the page and compares a picture of flying dragon lizards with Crusoe.
No.
The next picture is of a frilled lizard.
There you are.
Crusoe has a lettuce leaf around his neck, making him look like a frilled lizard.
Maybe you're a mom.
Angus turns to the second book. Crusoe has a long tail developed for swimming as it ends in a broad whale-like paddle. A flashback.
Where were you born, Daddy?
I was born and brought up on the banks of Loch Morar. People whispered about a beastie living in that very loch. Not always there have been tales of sightings of such a creature. Sometimes at sea, but more often in a loch. Oh, when I was a boy, I longed to see that monster.
The present in the pub.
When I was a boy, terrible times there were. Boys and girls, wives and mothers, all over the world left without the man of the house. They all went off to war, and many never came back. We're a tiny village in the wilds of Scotland, but 20 men we lost. But maybe I'm boring you with my story.
No, no, please don't stop.
Okay, if you insist. Angus was just like every other wee boy. He wanted his daddy home again. But he also had another problem.
Crusoe, you ate it all. Come out, you'll be sick.
Angus makes to grab Crusoe and Crusoe snaps at his hand. Angus extends his hand slowly this time.
That's a good boy. I'm sorry for grabbing.
He strokes Crusoe.
You're all dried up.
He pushes the now empty bin upright with Crusoe still inside it. He carries the bin over to the sink. He runs some water into a shallow bucket as Crusoe flounders in the bottom of the bin.
You'll like this.
He tips the water onto Crusoe, who swims around happily.
That's better, eh?
A fisherman and his gilly catch a salmon in the loch.
Oh, that's... Oh, yeah. Oh, another 5 pounds. Oh, oh, you beauty. Aye, takes care of my lunch. Oh, aye.
They watch a Hurricane fighter bomber fly up the loch. Some troops are deploying on a rocky outcrop overlooking the loch.
What are they doing up on that hill? It's a secret mission. They're after submarines. Well, if it's secret, how do you know about it?
I have my ways, my contacts.
Aye, we'll make contact with them oars. Put us over some more fish.
An open-top jeep drives up a track past a shepherd and his sheep. The jeep pulls up beside the troops on the hillside and Captain Hamilton gets out. He slips a swagger stick under his arm and salutes his men, who all stand at attention.
Map, sir.
Lieutenant Wormsley accompanies Hamilton over to a map table. Hamilton walks past it and looks out over the loch.
Perfect.
It's an amazing view, sir.
HMS Royal Oak was lost to a German U-boat, Scapa Flow. About 100 miles from this spot. 833 sailors lost. We're not here for the scenery, Wormsley.
Yes, sir.
Hamilton turns to the men.
Now, make no mistake. We are on the front line here. Now, I have studied the German advance. If they invade, they will come right through here. This is the deepest lock in Scotland. It's perfect for their troopships. But they will send submarines first for reconnaissance.
Won't the steel nets stop them, sir?
The submarine net will be down to permit passage by routine marine traffic and to let their subs in. And then we will raise the net. And we will destroy them.
Hamilton looks back out across the loch. In the workshop, Angus watches Crusoe play in the bin full of water.
I wish I could swim like you. I wish I wasn't so afraid.
He turns to the window.
Oh, no. I'd better go. Stay out of trouble.
Crusoe leaps back into the water as Angus steps out of the workshop. Angus sees Sergeant Walker, the soldier who scared him earlier, with a dead stag. Walker kneels over it, clutching a bloody hunting knife. Frightened, Angus runs on past Walker and his colleagues. That night, one of the villagers walks into the pub. The fisherman Hughie is working behind the bar, and his gilly Jimmy is drinking there.
Hey, did you see all those jeeps and lorries going up and down the hill?
You're late. And that is very hush-hush.
Aye, it's a secret mission. That's what I hear. Top secret.
Well, say one thing, Jimmy. If it's a secret, you'd be the last person to tell about it.
Oh, that's very cruel.
A grim-faced man carrying a kit bag steps up to the bar.
Right.
What'll you have?
Pint of McCune's.
As Hughie gets the man's drink, Jimmy eyes the stranger and his bag up and down.
Looks like rain.
Yeah, mate.
You're not from the village. Would you be with the artillery?
There we are, lad. I'm away from home. You hear the captain? We're on the front lines.
Front line, my aunt.
We're here because his daddy got to put as far away from danger as the War Office could find.
You're the boys with the big gun at the loch.
Indeed we are.
Would that thing sink a submarine?
With one shell. What are you having, lad?
Kind of heavy.
Yeah, I'll have a whiskey. What you got there?
The stranger minds his own business alone at a corner table. Next morning at the house, the troops practice rifle drill on the lawns, which are now covered in military tents. Anne walks into the workshop carrying a box. She sighs when she sees Angus's little shrine to his father. She puts the box down and walks over to the notice board. She looks at the map on the wall, next to which is pinned a photograph of her husband. She looks at the shelves of trophies Angus has collected from the beach, including a desiccated crab and a seagull's skull. She looks at a model ship on a shelf. Now she looks at the calendar, which has all the days up to the present neatly crossed off. She sees the note, tour of duty over, pinned to the 30th of September. Anne looks up at the photo of young Angus standing with his father. She smiles and reaches out, touching it fondly. Hearing approaching footsteps, she reins in her emotions.
Angus, we need to talk.
She turns round and sees it's the stranger.
Who?
Mrs. McMurrow.
Who are you?
My name's Lewis Mowbray.
Oh, yes, the handyman.
He nods.
You're 2 days late in arriving.
Yes, ma'am. I was...
Well, you can start by cleaning this mess. You can pack up all these
books and shells and charts and so forth. I want to empty this shop out. And I think my son has an animal hidden in here somewhere. He's not allowed pets, so do you think you could manage that?
Aye.
And we'll have no drinking in our house, Mr. Lewis.
Yes, ma'am. And it's Mowbray, ma'am.
Yes.
She eyes him for a moment, then heads out of the workshop. Lewis looks around. A little later, he drags the bin full of water out of the workshop. Angus comes out of the house and spots him. His eyes widen in alarm.
No.
Did you see anything fall out of it?
Only water. What are you looking for?
Nothing. You'd remember if you'd seen it.
I didn't see anything.
Who are you?
Mrs. McMorrow hired me to help around the lodge. So this will be my workshop now. And I don't want you coming in and out of it, you understand?
This is my father's workshop. He's off fighting in the war. You can't just come
Lad.
In...
Lad! Lad, when your father returns, he can do with it what he wants. But for now, this shop is mine. And I want to be left alone, am I clear? Have I made myself clear?
Angus stares at Lewis for a moment, then runs off. Night. The troops have lit a brazier on the lawn. Several of them stand around it.
Crusoe! Crusoe, come out! Where are you hiding?
Can I trouble you for a lie?
Captain Hamilton comes over to Lewis, who's been watching Angus.
Thank you. Ah, absolutely stunning countryside, isn't it?
Lewis looks a little awkward.
You from round here?
From Dannach.
Captain Thomas Hamilton.
Good to meet you.
They shake hands.
And yours?
Mowbray. Lewis Mowbray.
Hamilton smiles and nods.
And you've seen service, I presume?
Lewis lights a roll-up cigarette, then gives Hamilton a loaded look before walking away. Nonplussed, Hamilton watches him go.
Well, have a good evening, Mowbray.
Angus searches for Crusoe.
Where are you? Where have you gone? Crusoe, where the devil are you?
Hamilton watches Angus as he searches. Crusoe has found his way into the house. He falls over a step on the stairs. Picking himself up, he snaps at the pesky step before floundering on like a seal. He flops down another step and makes his way into the kitchen. Churchill the bulldog spots him and goes after him. Crusoe runs for him. As Churchill gives chase, a coil of rope tethering him to the cooker unspools. Crusoe flounders along down a corridor with Churchill closing in on him. Just as Churchill is about to grab Crusoe in his jaws, he runs out of rope and is yanked to a halt. The cooker jolts forward, spilling a pan on the stove and bringing down a cloud of soot from the chimney. Crusoe makes his way to safety, pausing to snap defiantly at Churchill. Gracie the cook comes into the kitchen and finds the mess.
Sergeant's drunk!
Sergeant's drunk shuts Churchill in a room.
Let go, Churchill!
I don't care if you're the Lord Chamberlain. I won't have my kitchen destroyed.
Sorry, ma'am, are you? I don't know what got into him.
Sergeant Strunk wanders off. Upstairs, Kirsty is running a bath. She shuts off the taps and walks out of the bathroom. She wanders back down the corridor to her room. Crusoe makes his way into the bathroom. A forlorn Angus comes into the kitchen from his fruitless search and puts his flashlight down on a table. He passes Gracie, who yells at the room Churchill is shut in.
Hush your feast, you daft dog!
Kirsty gets some towels from her room, then walks back up the corridor and goes into the bathroom. Angus wanders gloomily through the house.
No, no, no!
Angus finds Kirsty in the corridor.
No, 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 no!
Crusoe is in the bath. Angus smiles as Kirsty regards him fearfully.
Jeez, Crusoe! You're as big as a prize pig. How'd you grow so fast?
I thought I'd lost you. He's very friendly, aren't you, boy?
Angus, Mummy will have a fit.
Don't you dare tell her. Kirsty, please. He needs me. I'm his only friend.
I saved his life.
Kirsty's face softens and she goes and joins Angus beside the bathtub. She looks at Crusoe, who's now about the size of a small pig.
Poor wee thing. You won't tell. Swear.
I don't swear, Angus McMurrow. I'll not speak a word.
You're a good sister, after all.
He hugs her, and smiling, she rolls her eyes. Next morning, Anne steps out of the house.
Morning, Mum.
She nods to a group of soldiers.
Lovely morning, miss.
Morning.
She walks over to the workshop. Inside, Lewis is shaving with a cutthroat razor.
Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. Come in.
Anne comes back.
Come in.
He rinses his razor and then his face. Anne, who carries a bundle of clothes, looks around the now neat and tidy workshop.
You've done some very good work around the grounds, Mr. Lewis.
Thank you, ma'am. And it's Mowbray, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Did you know that the guest bathroom's been out of order for 3 days now?
No, I'll see to it immediately, ma'am.
I have some clothes. My husband's... Well, you seem to be about the same size. Would you care for them?
He looks unsure.
Well, won't he need them when he comes home?
He's not coming home, Mr. Mowbray. His ship was sunk at sea. It's been almost a year.
Oh. Sorry. Sorry. It's just that your son had said that...
Oh. Angus is a confused boy.
Confused?
Yes. I have a lot to do. Do you want them or not?
Yes. Thank you.
He takes them from her.
Thanks.
She goes to the door and turns back as if to say something, but Lewis has turned his back and is examining the clothes. She watches as he looks at a shirt. Then, looking slightly puzzled, she leaves the workshop. Lewis looks round at the door. In the bathroom, Crusoe is still in the bathtub. He has a bandage around his snout. Angus turns to Kirsty.
Did you have to turn him into a mummy? It was getting too loud. Somebody would have heard.
Angus pulls the bandage off.
Quiet, Crusoe! Who's there?
I'm here to fix the bathroom.
We're using it!
Oh, both of you? But I thought it was out of order. What's that noise?
I have a cough!
You've got an animal in there. Look, you better let me in or your mother will hear about this.
No.
Let me in.
Kirsty opens the door. She and Angus stand with her back to the bath, screening Crusoe from Lewis's view. Angus has hold of Crusoe's snout to silence him.
Listen, you two. I have to do my job. And your mother told me that this bathroom has been out of order 3 days. Now, what is that?
He came from an egg at the tide pool. His name's Crusoe.
Bewildered, Lewis stares at Crusoe, who's broken free from Angus's grasp.
What in the name of...
Lewis moves closer for a better look.
He's very friendly.
Angus and Kirsty pet Crusoe. Emboldened by their example, Lewis steps forward and cautiously extends his hand. Crusoe goes for him, and he recoils.
Oh! Mary and Joseph!
He almost died when he was born.
Almost took my hand off.
He thinks I'm his father.
Lewis stares at Crusoe thoughtfully.
I wonder. Oh, it just can't be.
Can't be what?
Well, it looks like a bloody water horse.
What?
They're make-believe. A legend from the Celtic past. They're said to be the rarest of all creatures. You know, there can be only one water horse in the world at a time. When the one grows old, it lays a single egg and then it dies.
Crusoe's a girl?
No. No, lad, it's girl and boy both. The beast is both mum and dad to the egg. The old water horse dies before the egg hatches. So the new water horse is born an orphan.
That's sad.
Lewis regards Crusoe warily.
It's an amazing thing, though, isn't it?
Don't tell her. She'd make us get rid of it. Will you help us, Mr. Lewis?
You're asking me to deceive your mother.
Angus, Kirsty!
As Anne walks up the corridor, Kirsty steps out of the bathroom.
What are you doing there?
I was helping Mr. Lewis fix the pipes.
And since when have pipes been an interest of yours?
Wait! It's a bad time to interrupt him.
What?
Plumbing is tricky. It's like surgery. One mistake can mean death.
Angus steps out of the bathroom.
Mr. Lewis found the problem.
Anne regards him suspiciously, then goes into the bathroom.
Angus, wait!
Angus stops when he sees the bath is empty. Lewis slides out from under a commode.
Always been handy with the plumbing.
He's a genius.
And you helped, did you, Angus?
Yes, I handed the tools.
And you, Kirsty?
No, I came to get Angus to show him the civil assistance.
Crusoe pops up out of the loo. Lewis quickly sits on the lid.
It's getting a bit cramped in here, so off you go. Did a grand job, Angus.
The children go.
It's the pipes. It's the airlocks bubbling through, you see. Angus was a great help.
So he said.
Oh, dear, excuse me. It's the doctor warned me not to eat a haggis for breakfast. So it's something about the texture of the innards mixed in with the suet that I just can't.
Thank you, thank you. You've explained that quite enough.
She goes, and Crusoe pops up again.
Shut your ugly gob. You bloody near got me sacked, you wee ingrate.
Oh. Lewis recoils from Crusoe's belch.
Captain, we'll have that bathroom up and running by tonight.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, would you allow me to organise a meal tomorrow evening? As a token of our gratitude. Just the officers and yourself, of course, as guest of honour.
Anne shrugs, then nods and smiles.
Thank you very much. That'll be very nice.
Excellent. Shall we say 8 o'clock?
Hamilton goes and Anne smiles to herself.
Mr. Lewis, what are we going to do?
One thing's sure, you need to get him out of the house straight away.
But where can I put him?
In the loch.
No, I want Crusoe to stay. He's mine.
But he can't spend his life in a toilet bowl.
No, but he can
But whatever
stay with me.
The devil he is, he's meant to swim and be free. You know, the loch is loaded with salmon for him to eat and there's plenty of water for him to grow and move around in. You want what's best for him, don't you?
What's best for him is to be with me.
Angus runs off. Exasperated, Lewis stares after him. Anne lets herself into a spacious bedroom in the house and walks past a four-poster bed to a wardrobe. She looks through the fine dresses it contains and selects one. That evening, the officers are dressed in their mess jackets and the dining room table is set for dinner.
Excuse me, sir.
One of the officers points out Anne as she arrives, resplendent in the elegant black evening dress she took from the bedroom. Captain Hamilton smiles and goes over to her. The other officers watch as she walks into the room.
Mrs. McMorrow, you look radiant.
In Scotland, we call that a fib, Captain.
Let me introduce you.
In the kitchen, Gracie sips a drink as he watches Sergeant Strunk chop some parsley and put it in a bowl. He takes it over to the stove.
I love to watch a man work.
He saunters over and tops her mug up with scotch.
Oh, is he?
Don't we deserve it, eh?
He takes a swig from the bottle. Kirsty walks past the kitchen door and sees Gracie and Strunk. She smiles to herself. In the dining room, Captain Hamilton taps his glass with a knife.
Gentlemen.
The officers all stand and raise their glasses.
The King, the regiment,
and the Lady of the House.
The king, the regiments, and the lady of the house.
Well, gentlemen, technically speaking, I'm not actually the lady of the house, but I suppose for tonight I'm happy enough to serve that role. Thank you.
Here they are. Look what I've got.
Angus feeds Crusoe sardines.
Don't be greedy now.
He throws a sardine and Crusoe leaps after it. Kirsty comes into the bathroom.
Angus, come quickly. I've something funny to show you.
I'll be back in a minute, Crusoe.
He hurries out after Kirsty.
You're not going to believe this.
He leaves an out-of-order sign on the door, which doesn't close properly. Crusoe falls out of the bathtub. Sergeant Strunk and Gracie dance together in the kitchen.
You're a fine woman, Gracie.
Gracie pirouettes round, and then they dance arm in arm. Churchill hears something and gets up off his bed to investigate. He runs out past the sergeant and Gracie. Crusoe comes out of the bathroom and sees a dog's soft toy sitting on the floor in the corridor. He approaches it wearily. He barks at the toy. Satisfied it's nothing to worry about, he sniffs the air and gets a whiff of something he likes the smell of. Kirsty and Angus come to the kitchen door and watch Strunk and Gracie dancing together. Angus frowns when they kiss.
Gracie!
The couple spring apart.
Oh, my God, I don't know what came over me.
Yes, a bit of fun.
Angus sees Churchill is missing.
Where's the dog?
Churchill bounds upstairs. Crusoe is making his way along a corridor, following his nose. Churchill races up another flight of stairs. Churchill comes hurtling around a corner and comes face to face with Crusoe. The two animals stare at each other for a second, then Crusoe turns tail and flees back down the corridor. Churchill bounds after him. Crusoe arrives at the top of a flight of stairs. He stops and stares at the pesky steps. Then, seeing Churchill closing in, he throws himself down them. As he gets to the bottom of the stairs, Churchill knocks a vase off a stand. In the kitchen, Angus and Kirsty hear the noise. They run off. Crusoe blunders down more stairs. As the children run along a corridor, Lewis steps out of a room carrying a bust. Kirsty runs into the back of him and he drops it. He glares at Kirsty, then, hearing the commotion, runs off. In the dining room...
You know why I take two pairs of trousers onto the golf course, Mrs. McMurrow?
Mm-hmm.
In case I get a hole in one.
Crusoe gets to the bottom of the stairs and comes face to face with a lion's skin rug. He glances around in panic and sees stag's antlers on the walls. Terrified, he runs on into the living room as Churchill comes down the stairs and gives chase. Angus starts to run up the stairs, but the sound of a table with a decanter on it being knocked over stops him in his tracks. He runs back towards the living room.
Did you hear something?
Good. No, no. Maybe this old house has one or two ghosts. No?
Oh, I don't believe in such things, Captain.
Lewis runs into the living room.
Come here, you bloody mongrel!
I'm sure I can hear something.
Yes, now that time I distinctly heard something.
Churchill continues to chase Crusoe around the living room. Churchill leaps up onto a desk and knocks stuff off it as he bounds off the far side in hot pursuit of Crusoe.
Crusoe, no!
The animals run into the dining room.
What's that now?
Churchill leaps onto the table as Crusoe runs underneath it. Angus follows Crusoe on hands and knees beneath the table. Churchill knocks a soup tureen over Captain Hamilton. Crusoe grabs a fish that's fallen from the table and runs on out of the dining room with Angus and Churchill in hot pursuit. The trio run out of the house. Angus looks around, then runs on. Lewis skids into the chaotic dining room. Anne gets to her feet.
Mr. Lewis, what in goodness sake?
The name's Mowbray, ma'am.
What?
Ma'am, the dog got loose and I was trying to catch him.
Oh, I should say you failed at that.
He shifts awkwardly.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you think it's funny, Mowbray?
No, no. It's a very serious matter.
You hold your tongue, man.
You're not in your stately home now, Hamilton. I'll not be taking orders from you.
That is quite enough. Go and collect Angus and take him to his room immediately.
Yes, ma'am.
Lewis heads off out of the dining room. Outside, Churchill snuffles about around the fountain. He doesn't notice Crusoe, who stands impersonating the stone gargoyle statue that was broken. Once Churchill is gone, Crusoe notices the fountain is full of goldfish. Excited, he leaps in to catch them. Water splashes out of the fountain as he chases the fish. Angus searches for Crusoe outside the house.
Crusoe, come back. We're all going to get into trouble. Lewis, we've got to find Crusoe. He's gone.
I know. I'll find the wee devil and you go straight to your room.
But Lewis,
look, off to Beverly now, or your mum will have both our hides. On you go.
Reluctantly, Angus does as he's told. As dawn breaks, Lewis is still searching around the grounds for Crusoe.
Where are you, you wee smelly beast?
He hears splashing and looks over towards the fountain. He sees Crusoe there, but he's now grown to about the size of a cow. Lewis regards the sack he'd brought to catch Crusoe in dubiously. He gets Angus out of bed.
Angus, wake up, I found him.
Can't we just put him back in the bathtub?
No, I don't think so.
They go outside and Angus sees Crusoe.
Jinx!
They drive Crusoe away from the house in a truck.
Lewis, do you know anything more about water horses?
I think it was my Uncle Lachlan who first told me about it. Many years ago, there was a lost traveller and he's weeping bitter tears because he can't find his way home. And he'd given up hope. Then suddenly, who should appear at the bank of the loch to this traveller but a sea spirit, a water horse. Now, the traveller, but no fool is he, knows that the water horse is a creature of magic, one that could grow 10 feet tall overnight.
They stop by the loch.
So, the traveller, he feeds the water horse, strokes it, flatters it with compliments, and finally the traveller says, "Incidentally, water horse, my dear friend, now I'm wondering if you've no other pressing engagements, could I trouble you to carry me across the loch on your back and show me the way home?"
Well, what happens? Does the water horse help him?
I don't remember.
What? Does the water horse help him, or doesn't he?
Well, it was so long ago that I heard it. It either carries him across the loch, or it drags him down to the bottom to his watery death. Not sure which.
They unload Crusoe from the truck, and Lewis leads him down to the water on the end of a rope. Crusoe resists and keeps looking back at Angus, who stands watching on the pebble beach. Lewis offers Crusoe a potato.
Here you go, your favourite snack.
Lewis holds the potato out to Crusoe, then hurls it out into the loch. Crusoe splashes off after it. Angus watches and fights back tears. Crusoe eats the potato, then looks back towards Angus. Before he gets a chance to come back, Lewis throws another potato, which Crusoe chases after.
Angus, run now! Angus, run! Faster! No looking back!
Angus runs away. Later, a damp Lewis arrives back at the house. He walks into the workshop and closes the door behind him. He unbuttons his jacket and is surprised to find Captain Hamilton sitting by the fire waiting for him.
Ah, Mowbray. You're all wet, man. You've been fishing?
No. No, I went diving to see all those submarines you were going to sink.
Oh, you like to mock the war effort, do you?
No. No, I don't. Our forces over there in Europe, on the front lines, they're doing a great job.
He tosses his jacket down.
I want you to stay away from young Angus, do you understand? I consider you a bad influence.
Is that so?
You know, I don't know if you're a spy or a deserter or just simply a coward, Mowbray. But I am going to find out.
Oh, I see. Yeah, they took you away from the battlefront to hunt for deserters and cowards. Well, I'm neither. So you can take that Sassenach attitude of yours back to where you came from.
You stay away from the boy. Do you understand?
He goes. Jimmy and Huey are in a boat fishing on the loch. Jimmy takes a hip flask from his pocket.
I'll have a bit of breakfast.
Huey gets a bite.
Wait, wait.
How does she feel?
Oh, respectable.
It's a nice one.
Get the net.
You've got to keep her for sure.
Jimmy looks into the water.
Oh, I'd say it's at least a 5-pounder.
As the fish comes to the surface, Crusoe pops up and eats it.
Oh, I see it, Mother! What on earth is it?
It's a monster.
It's a big fish, all right.
Oh, no, it's a monster. A creature with horns. A devil.
I told you to stay off that drink in the morning.
Ah! It's a big fish, all right.
The line strips off Huey's reel. He stops it with his hand and the boat is towed along.
Oh, it's gigantic. Are you mad? This is the biggest fish I've ever had on. I'm going to land it.
Huey hangs onto his rod with grim determination. The boat speeds along like a speedboat, leaving a foaming white wake behind it.
It's going to sink us! Okay, okay, cut the line. Cut the line before he drowns us. For God's sake, hurry up. Hurry up.
Jimmy cuts the line with a knife and the boat begins to slow down. Crusoe leaps out of the water a little way ahead of the boat. Jimmy turns to Huey.
Did you see it?
I saw it. Whatever it is.
Angus walks with Captain Hamilton. A sergeant salutes as they walk by.
Sir.
Now, young man, your mother has asked me to enlist you in service. You are completely aimless. We're going to give you some purpose. Make a soldier out of you, right?
In the pouring rain, Angus knocks a tent peg into the ground with a mallet. Puffing on a cigarette, Hamilton sits watching him. Now Angus drills with the men. Crusoe chases a school of fish in the loch. Angus peels potatoes watched by Sergeant Strunk.
Come on, lad, hurry up. War will be over before you finish that spud.
Angus polishes Captain Hamilton's boots.
That's very good, Angus. Put you back into it, lad.
Back in the rain, Angus hammers away at the tent peg. Crusoe chases a seagull across the surface of the loch. Wearing an army forage cap, Angus drills with the men. Gracie looks in on the kitchen and winks at Strunk. He gets up and follows her out.
Keep peeling. I'll be back.
Crusoe sticks his head, which has short giraffe-like horns, up out of the loch and looks towards the shore. By the tents.
Very good. Now, on to the next one.
Angus steers incredulously after Hamilton.
I want this vehicle spotless, both inside and out. Right? You understand your orders?
Yes.
You're in the army now, Gunner. We have a way of addressing officers, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Good man. Well, carry on. Now, Edwards, you need to lay down some of your...
Angus begins washing Hamilton's jeep. Angus checks Hamilton's back is turned, then smiles and runs off.
Yeah, Wally.
Angus throws his army forage cap to one side. Hamilton turns around and is just in time to catch a glimpse of Angus as he disappears. The captain sighs. Angus runs down a road edged by trees. He rounds a corner and races over a stone bridge. He runs on towards the loch, which has towering snow-capped peaks at its edges. He hurries down to the water's edge and trots to the end of a rough wooden jetty. He calls out.
Crusoe! Where are you? I'm sorry I've not been safe for a while. I haven't been able to get away until now.
He looks across the expanse of calm water which twinkles under a bright sun. There's no sign of Crusoe. Angus rows a small boat out across the loch.
Chris, out! Chris, out!
He looks all around him.
Chris, out! Chris, out!
Where are you?
He looks down sadly, then stares out across the water. As he looks, he's unaware of a huge shape rising from the loch behind him. He feels water dripping on his head and turns around to find a gigantic Crusoe towering over the boat.
Crusoe!
Crusoe raises his head up on his long neck, blocking out the sun.
Holy mackerel!
Angus gawks at his giant friend, who lowers his head and nuzzles up against him.
Hello, boy.
Angus pets him and grins.
Careful, don't tip me over.
He stands.
It's good to see you, boy.
He rests his head against Crusoe's. Crusoe suddenly pulls away.
Wait, don't go!
Angus leaps out of the boat.
Crusoe!
He grabs hold of Crusoe's neck. Crusoe swings Angus around onto his back. Angus makes a frantic grab for the boat, but he can't reach it as Crusoe swims away from it. Panicking, Angus clings on frantically. Crusoe ups the pace and swims away across the loch. Angus's legs trail in the water. Beneath the surface, Crusoe's powerful flippers and tail pound away, propelling him through the water. Crusoe swims past a headland, sticking out into the loch. Relaxing now, Angus begins to enjoy the ride. The gorse-covered hillsides and the remains of Ochart Castle overlook the loch as Crusoe and Angus speed by. Angus smiles as he looks over at the castle. Crusoe swims on further up the loch.
This isn't so bad. It's fun, actually.
Crusoe looks around at Angus for a moment, then rears up. He dives beneath the surface of the loch and swims down into the murky depths with Angus still clinging to his back. Angus wipes his face with his hand as Crusoe swims along close to the bottom of the loch. He thumps Crusoe on the back, and Crusoe quickly swims back up to the surface, where they burst into the open in a plume of white spray, scattering a flock of birds as they do so. Angus catches his breath, then Crusoe rears up again and plunges beneath the surface once more. He swims down into the depth, scattering a shoal of fish. Angus clings on as Crusoe swims under an arch of rock. He swims up a deep trench, passing a large conger eel, and once again bursts out onto the surface. Back at the bottom of the loch, Crusoe and Angus swim on past an ancient, long-submerged stone circle, similar to Stonehenge. Smiles as they swim on past a sunken ship. Crusoe swims up past its mast, and Angus grins as he takes in all the underwater sights. Angus looks alarmed as they approach a submarine net. Crusoe swims sharply upwards, avoiding the net, and breaks the surface again. Angus raises his arms triumphantly. In the pub, the old man laughs. Crusoe spins around in the water, and a smiling Angus rests his head against the water horse's long neck. Angus sits up, his expression becoming grave as he looks over at the submarine net strung across the mouth of the loch. Cruiser turns and looks out beyond the mouth of the loch to the open sea. Sergeant Strunk is taking Churchill for a walk along a path beside the loch. Churchill spots something up ahead.
What is it, Churchill? Slow down, boy! Help!
Churchill runs on ahead. Crusoe swims up beside the wooden jetty Angus called to him from. Angus clambers off his back onto the jetty and lies down on it. Crusoe looks down at him, then jumps as Churchill comes running round the corner.
Crusoe, go!
Sergeant Strunk rounds the corner and catches a glimpse of Crusoe as he swims away.
Crusoe, go!
Dumbfounded, Strunk stares. That night in the workshop, Angus tells Lewis and Kirsty of his adventure.
I thought it was raining, but when I looked up, there he was.
No.
Big as a house. So then what happened? I held out my hand. Now, Crusoe, you have to promise to greet me. Not eat me.
did he greet you or eat you?
He ate me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's what you are.
Like a sardine.
Anne walks up outside the workshop and stops when she hears voices within. She peers through the window and sees Lewis laughing with Kirsty and Angus. Anne smiles to herself. Lewis glances up at the door and spots her looking in. Anne walks away, but Lewis comes out after her.
Ma'am! Ma'am?
She turns back.
Did you need something, ma'am?
No, no, thank you.
For what?
For making them laugh. Haven't heard them laugh like that in a long time. Especially Angus.
Oh, he's a good lad, ma'am.
Yes, he is. I used to make him laugh like that.
Maybe you should try again.
What?
Would just give him a wee bit more of your time.
Kirsty and Angus slip out of the workshop to listen.
Yes. Mr. Mowbray.
Please, call me Lewis.
Where'd you get your scar?
Shrapnel. Almost took my arm off. I was a gunner on a torpedo boat. And we were dive-bombed by a German plane, and I was firing at it. Next thing, woke up in hospital.
Is it still painful?
Ach, it's nothing. I'm lucky compared to what some people have to...
He regards her awkwardly. She looks thoughtful and nods.
It's a good thing I didn't lose the arm. I'd not be much of a handyman with one hand. You know, I'd be a one handyman. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry. You will tell me if it's troubling you, won't you?
Captain Hamilton puffs on his pipe and watches Anne and Lewis from a distance.
Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
We had any news on this Mowbray character yet?
Yes, sir. I put my report on your desk yesterday, sir. Mowbray's as clean as a whistle, sir. County records show him born and raised in Dannock. Enlisted in the Royal Navy 1939. Unblemished war record. Engine action, August 1940. And honourably discharged. He's something of a hero, you might say, sir.
Thank you, Wamsley. That'll be all.
Yes, sir.
He stares thoughtfully over at Anne and Lewis. In the village pub, Jimmy's regaling others with his experience on the loch.
And a head on it, oh, and a tail like a crocodile, only bigger, wasn't it?
You've been telling that story for a week, and it changes every time.
Scales or skin?
Skin. What's your interest, Jock?
Interest?
Aye.
This is front page news. The Aberdeen Argus readers will want to hear of this.
Not a word of this is to get out.
But, Hughie, when the war's over, there could be tourists, excursions. This could put our Loch Ness on the map.
I don't want it on the map. Just leave things the way they are.
If there's a monster in Loch Ness, The world has a right to know.
Aye.
Lewis overhears the conversation. Anne, Kirsty and Angus travel with Captain Hamilton in his jeep.
Well, it's a perfect day for it.
This is awfully nice of you, Captain, but you don't have to.
No, I want you and the children to see the important work that we're doing.
Kirsty and Anne exchange a wry smile. Jimmy is with Jock, the reporter, by the log.
If it's a mammal, it can't stay underwater for 6 hours.
Mammal, my arse, it's a monster. It can do what it wants. You just be ready. This photograph will make us all rich.
In the jeep.
Well, the first thing we did was have an access road all the way to the top of the hill. All the way up to the location. See? Now, I know we've been rather an inconvenience for you since we've been here, but I think you'll be impressed by what I'm about to show you.
They drive up to the headland overlooking the loch. All is hustle and bustle with military activity. A soldier plots a course on a map with dividers. Others use a theodolite. Radio operators man a bank of radios.
Now, this location, obviously, has been strategically chosen for the long-range views. Moray Firth in the east, Loch Lochy in the west. Now, follow me. Now, here she is, our pride and joy.
A cannon.
Now, before we fire up Victoria, that's what we call her. I need you three to remain here on the perimeter. And you might want to cover your ears. She packs a hell of a punch.
Come on.
Now, we will be firing down the lock.
Angus looks alarmed.
Let's see what sort of splash she makes.
The fierce-looking soldier smiles over at Angus. Angus jabs Anne's elbow.
Right, Ben, walk up.
The lock! No, he can't do that!
Angus, what
next? I know I should have told you, but there's a creature down there, a wasser horse. He could get hurt.
The gun crew take up positions.
Angus, what are you talking about? Will you stop this nonsense and let them do their
work?
No,
Captain Hamilton!
Angus!
No,
Angus!
You mustn't!
Captain says we're to remain over here.
Mother, please, listen. He had from an egg. I saved his life.
That is enough.
Mother, it's true. Angus is telling the truth. You have to see.
No! Angus, come right over here.
Ah!
Angus falls to the ground as the cannons open fire. In the loch, Cruzo is swimming along when a shell touches down close to him. Panicked, Cruzo swims for his life. In the pub, the backpackers look alarmed at this twist in the tale. Captain Hamilton looks pleased.
Very good.
What happened?
Did they kill Cruzo? That can't be the end.
No, no, no. But it was the beginning of the end. Poor Angus was beside himself at its creature. He got into terrible trouble.
Angus runs at Captain Hamilton. He falls as the guns report, then gets to his feet and runs on.
Control yourself, boy! Did I or did I not tell you to wait over there?
Angus, this is not the place for us. Can someone drive us home, please?
Something, cupboard?
Yes, sir.
Kirsty.
Anne.
Hamilton walks over to her.
The boy needs discipline, Anne.
She gives him a look.
The captain lost all respect in Anne's eyes that day.
All right, Corbin.
The jeep takes him back. It passes Jock and Jimmy, who are still at the side of the loch.
The creature will never surface after that bombardment.
Puddicks.
You bloody pests!
Aye, and he blew a big hole in Jock's plans for fame and Jimmy's for fortune. Jimmy McGarry was a man not to be lightly parted from a pound or a penny. He had seen the monster, and he was determined the rest of the world should see it too.
Get out of the picture!
I go! What you go!
He, Jock and Huey fake the famous surgeon's picture of the monster.
Everyone had a tale to tell about the monster. Everyone except poor Angus. He was sent to bed at 6 every night for a month. Even his Goody Two Shoes sister could not convince their mother of the truth. And no one had laid sight of Cruzo since the bombardment. Until that fateful night.
Sergeant Strunk.
Blimey, that's it.
What's it?
The monster. That's just what I saw.
The fake photos in the paper. The fierce soldier.
If it's out there, I'll catch it. Let's go hunting, boys.
Kirsty unlocks the door to Angus's room.
Angus.
Kirsty?
This is Lewis's idea. If you tell Mummy I let you out, I'll deny it. Do you understand?
He nods. It's dark as Angus and Lewis walk down to the loch.
Now everyone's talking about seeing the beast. You have to get him to hide better or something.
They trot down onto the jetty where Angus last saw Crusoe. They look out over the expanse of water. There's no sign of Crusoe.
Try again.
Crusoe! Come!
Lewis puts his fingers in his mouth. They look out over the water, but there's still no sign of Crusoe. Crusoe erupts out of the water and snaps angrily at Angus and Lewis.
Crusoe! Easy boy, it's me!
He rears up.
Lewis, what's happened to him?
He's gone wild, lad!
No, you're wrong! You'll see!
Angus approaches Crusoe.
Angus, be careful!
Angus holds his hand out to Crusoe, who starts to calm down. He sniffs Angus's hand and comes closer.
Easy, boy. I'm your friend.
Crusoe has a flashback of the shells exploding and lunges angrily at Angus. Lewis pulls him back. Crusoe rages furiously at the end of the jetty. Crusoe dives back into the loch and disappears into the dark waters.
It was your idea to put him in the wild. You said it would be best for him.
I didn't know that they'd shoot at him.
It's your fault.
Angus gets up and marches off, leaving Lewis on the jetty. A military patrol boat sets out from the village. Churchill barks at the departing boat from the quayside, then runs back along the quay and follows the boat along the bank. On board the boat are Lieutenant Wormsley, Sergeant Strunk, and Walker, the fierce-looking soldier, who clutches a makeshift harpoon.
Will it work?
Soft spot. Back of the neck. Consider it dead.
Churchill runs over rocks on the bank and looks down into a shallow bay. He runs on. Angus walks back towards the house, Lewis following him.
Did you shoot that plane down?
What?
The plane you were shooting at when you got hurt.
That's not something I'd brag about.
Angus stops.
Why not?
Churchill runs down to the edge of the loch and barks at the water.
Angus!
They run towards the barking. On the boat.
You hear that? It's Churchill. Oh, he's onto something. Good dog!
It's that dog! He'll tell everyone where Crusoe is!
Lewis and Angus run back towards the loch.
Wormsley! Over there! In that cove!
I'll take her in.
Wormsley steers the boat towards the cove. Standing on the prow, Walker smiles. From under the water, Crusoe looks up at Churchill on the bank. Churchill backs up slightly and watches apprehensively as Crusoe's massive form rises slowly up out of the bay. Crusoe towers menacingly over the dog.
Kill the engine!
Wormsley switches it off.
Where's he gone? Churchill! Hey, Churchill!
Strunk turns to Walker.
Maybe he's just chasing a rabbit or something.
That's not it.
As the soldiers peer into the cove, Crusoe erupts out of the water behind them. The boat rocks violently and Wormsley falls over. Walker mans the Lewis gun mounted on the deck of the boat. Cruiser dives back into the loch and disappears.
Mayday! Mayday! We're on the loch! And we're under attack!
A radio operator frowns as he listens to the garbled message.
Where is he? There he is, port side!
Walker shoots at Cruiser, who angrily turns on the boat.
Turn the boat around! Where is it? Where is it?
Cruiser swam under the boat at speed and disappeared. Beneath the surface, Cruiser looks up at the boat, then powers up from the depth, slamming into it. He knocks the boat clean out of the water, throwing Wormsley, Walker and Strunk from it. As the boat splashes down, it capsizes. Wormsley surfaces and swims over to the inverted boat. He clings to the hull. In the house, Captain Hamilton approaches Anne.
Anne? Look, I don't wish to carry on like this. I'd like to apologise for my actions on the hill.
No. We should apologise. Angus should never have behaved in such an inappropriate fashion.
Sir, we just had a call from the lock. We're under attack.
What?
We're under attack, sir.
Right, can I bring my jeep round to the front?
Yes, sir.
And you take the children into the cellar. Wormsley!
Kirsty, Angus, downstairs now. Angus is—he's not here.
What?
He's gone down to the loch.
Oh my God! Come quickly, hurry downstairs. Go.
This is not a drill.
Listen, Clyde, bring the car round to the front of the house straight away.
Hey. Anne, I can't let you. It's too dangerous.
He's my son. You try to stop me.
Out in the loch, Sergeant Strunk swims towards a piece of wreckage. As he does so, Cruiser surfaces and bears down on him.
Go away from me! Go away! Get that away from me!
Cruiser comes closer.
Oh, my God! Please! No! No, please!
Walker comes ashore. Angus runs into the cove and watches as Cruiser looms up over the helpless Strunk. Cruiser strikes, picking Strunk up in his jaws.
Stop! Put him down!
Cruiser shakes him. Angus runs into the water. Walker draws a revolver. Lewis stops him shooting, but Walker punches him in the face, knocking him out. Walker aims and pulls the trigger, but the hammer falls on an empty chamber. Terrified, Walker flees away up the bank. Angus wades out towards Crusoe. Angus misses his footing and slips down a submerged rocky shelf into the water. He sinks down, exhaling a plume of bubbles. Crusoe hurls Strunk aside, and he lands heavily on the pebbled beach beside Lewis. Now unconscious, Angus sinks deeper into the loch. Cruiser dives down and grabs hold of Angus in his mouth. He lifts him up to the surface. Lewis comes round and sees Strunk lying beside him. He then spots Cruiser carrying Angus's limp body back towards the shore. Lewis gets up and runs over to Cruiser as he gently puts Angus down on the beach.
Angus? Can you hear me?
Come on, lad. Come on, son. Come on, Angus. Breathe. Come on.
To Cruiser.
If you've any magic in your tool, use it on this lad. I'm begging you.
Captain Hamilton and Anne speed along in his jeep.
Put the gunners on high alert, do you understand me? Any sign of an enemy vessel, you fire at will.
Sir.
No, you fire at will.
Anne looks anxious as Hamilton bellows his orders into a radio.
Come on. Come on, lad. Come on, breathe, Angus. Come on, get some good Scottish air in those lungs. Come on. Stay with me, Angus. Stay with me, lad. Come on. Come on, lad. Breathe. Come on.
Angus lies unconscious. A flashback. In the workshop, his father in his naval uniform dusts off a lathe. He turns and looks at young Angus.
Come on, lad. Come on, we should go now.
Angus steps forward.
You know something? This old workshop is the place I'll miss the most.
He looks around at it.
You look after it for me.
Angus nods and his father smiles.
I'll bet you grow into these by the time I get back.
He hangs a pair of boots by their laces from a peg.
You keep them well polished.
Angus nods.
Oi.
His father crouches.
We'll have none of that. You're the man of the house now. I need you to be strong and sure.
All right, Dad, strong and sure.
Aye. That's my boy.
In the pub, the old man looks wistful. On the beach, Angus coughs up water.
That's it. Goodbye. That's it. Goodbye.
Angus comes to and sees Crusoe and Lewis.
Crusoe?
He reaches out to Crusoe, who leans forward and gently nuzzles his hand.
That's a good water horse.
Crusoe retreats into the loch as the captain's jeep approaches.
Captain! Oh, God!
Captain Hamilton!
Angus!
He's all right, he's all right.
Angus, what happened?
Sergeant!
You gotta kill it, sir.
What happened?
The monster!
I was only trying to save Crusoe.
Who's Crusoe?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
A sea monster? What are you talking about?
I swear, he was just
A sea monster? Are you telling me this has all been about a sea monster? What is going on here? Has everyone gone mad? A sea monster! There is no monster. It's just you with your bloody gun! And you! Filling his head with tales of sea creatures and magic? There's no monster. And there's no magic.
Mother.
It's just this war. And death. And people acting insane. What's wrong with everyone?
Angus cracks a smile and Captain Hamilton suddenly looks fearful. Anne turns around and stares in astonishment. Crusoe towers up over the beach looking down at them all. He bends down a little closer for a better look at Anne.
Angus?
Yes, Mum. I tried to tell you.
Yes, you did.
His name's Crusoe. Erase him right out of an egg.
Angus, be careful.
It's all right. He's my friend. He's peaceful. Really?
He's not peaceful at all, sir. The damn thing tried to eat me.
Angus reaches out and Crusoe nuzzles his hand. A shell lands nearby, panicking Crusoe.
Crusoe, get out of here! Crusoe!
Angus runs onto the jetty, and Crusoe comes to him.
Oh, my God!
Crusoe! Help! Good boy! Come on, over here!
No! Angus!
Anne watches distraught as Angus climbs on Crusoe's back and the pair set out across the loch. The artillery rain down shells around them. A shell nearly hits Crusoe.
Master Crusoe! We have to get to the net!
Lewis and Hamilton in the jeep.
The sea! He's trying to get Crusoe out to sea!
Victoria Base, come in! Victoria Base, come in!
You have to do something! You have to stop them!
All the radios are down! We have to get to the net!
The jeep speeds along the rain-washed track. The gunners load, fire and reload furiously. A shell lands right beside Crusoe. Crusoe is bowled over by the blast. He rights himself with Angus still clinging to his back. Anne, Hamilton and Lewis board a motor launch.
You're in the Royal Navy, that's right, isn't it, Mowbray?
Aye, sir.
Think you can handle this tub?
At the helm, Lewis opens the throttle and the launch sets out into the loch. Angus clings to Crusoe's back as he ploughs through the choppy water towards the submarine net.
I see the channel! That hurts a seaboy! As fast as you can!
Shells fall all around them as Crusoe ploughs powerfully towards the mouth of the loch. A gun emplacement beside the submarine net shines a searchlight across the loch. An observer in the emplacement looks through binoculars and spies a shape making its way towards them.
I see something! The rain's too heavy to make it out clearly! It looks like a periscope!
Another soldier looks.
Good God, it is! A German sub! Prepare to fire!
The gunners load their artillery pieces. Lewis and Hamilton drive the launch up the loch through the pouring rain.
Fire!
The shell lands just in front of cruiser.
Go under, Cruiser! We have to go under!
Cruiser dives beneath the waves and powers through the depths. The artillery shells explode all around him as he doggedly swims on. Angus looks around in alarm. A shell lands close to the motor launch, rocking it violently about. Cruzo breaks the surface of the water. Hamilton spots him.
There! Over there! Can you see them?
Looking through his binoculars, the observer sees Cruzo and the launch closing in on him.
Situation report!
Sir, it looks like one of our own torpedo boats is in pursuit of the target.
And they're on the run.
Don't let them get to the sea. Raise the nets!
Yeah! Heavy mechanical gear cogs whir into life and the submarine net is raised from the bed of the loch. Angus clings onto Cruzo's neck as they speed towards the net. The net begins to rise. Gear cogs of the winch continue to turn and the net breaks the surface. Cruiser swims as fast as he can towards it, but the net rises still higher. As Cruiser and Angus arrive at the mouth of the loch, the net is fully raised. It rises up several metres above the water, completely blocking their path. Cruiser comes to a halt in front of it, unable to go any further. The launch comes alongside them.
Let go, Angus!
Angus looks up at his giant friend.
You're the best friend I've ever had.
He smiles sadly and lays his head against Cruzo's neck. Cruzo looks back at him.
I'll never forget you.
Angus tearfully hugs Cruzo's neck again. He looks up at Cruzo and slides off his back into the water. He begins to swim towards the launch. Cruzo bends his head down to Angus.
No, Cruzo! You can't stay here! Go and hide in the loch! Cruzo, go!
He doesn't move.
Don't you hear me, you bloody fool? Do as I say! Go!
Cruzo watches as Angus swims away from him towards the launch. Then he angrily bangs his head against the submarine net before diving down into the loch.
Come on, Angus!
You're nearly there! Come on, lad! Now give me your hand! Give me your hand, boy! Come on!
Lewis and Hamilton pull Angus into the launch. Angus looks out for Cruzo.
Where is he? Where'd he go?
They look across the dark water, as do the men in the gun emplacement on the cliffs above them. They see a fast-approaching bow wave. Suddenly, Cruzo breaks the surface, gathering speed all the time. The artillery observer watches in disbelief. Cruzo dives down just beneath the launch.
He's gonna jump the net!
It's too high!
He'll never make it!
They watch and wait. Cruzo bursts up out of the water and sails high in the air, but not high enough. He comes crashing down on top of the net, breaking it from its mountings. The artillerymen have to dodge flailing cables and debris as the entire winch house is brought crashing down into the loch. As the net sinks, Cruzo makes it out into the open sea, Angus, Lewis, Anne and Hamilton all cheer. Crusoe speeds off into the open sea. Captain Hamilton tousles Angus's hair as Angus stares delightedly after Crusoe. As dawn breaks over Loch Ness, the storm has passed, and cloud clings to the slopes of the mountains surrounding the loch. The jetty where they set out from the night before looks out over the now tranquil waters. The motor launch comes into shore and beaches. Lewis jumps down off the prow to secure the boat. Wrapped in blankets, Anne stands with her arm around Angus, looking out over the loch.
He'll not be coming back, will he?
I think he's meant to be on his own, dear.
Not Crusoe. I meant Daddy.
Oh. No, love. He'll not.
Angus nods sadly, and Anne plants a kiss on his head. Angus, Anne, Lewis and Captain Hamilton run up a steep hill onto a headland and join Kirsty. They see Crusoe in the distance out in the bay beyond. Angus smiles, as does Captain Hamilton. Anne glances back at him. Crusoe starts to head out to sea but pauses to look back at the land. He rears up in the water. Smiling, Angus and the others watch as Crusoe leaps into the air, then splashes back down into the water.
Some say the creature comes back from time to time looking for his friend. Some claim to have seen it over the years, but the boy never saw it again.
The old man smiles.
That's a wonderful story.
Aye, and all true, every word of it.
Thank you,
Angus. Angus McMurrow is the name.
Outside.
William!
A young mother looks anxiously around the crowded village square. Down on the beach at the edge of the loch, William, a boy of about seven, is walking along looking at all the flotsam and jetsam the tide has left behind. He examines something in the sand, then runs over to a strange oval-shaped stone he spies poking out from under some seaweed. He picks the stone up and examines it closely. He notices a patch of brilliant mother-of-pearl glinting out from under the stone's rugged covering. Something seems to move within the stone. The End. ITFC audio description by John Walskill was read by James O'Hara. Directed by Jay Russell. Screenplay by Robert Nelson Jacobs. Based on the book by Dick King Smith. Produced by Robert Bernstein, Douglas Ray. Produced by Barry M. Osborne, Charlie Lyons. Executive Producer, Jay Russell. Executive Producer, Charles Neuwirth. Director of Photography, Oliver Stapleton, BSc. Production Designer, Tony Burrow.